Now, you're all wondering what's going on with the pastor. We, as a matter of fact, Thomas came up to me and says, "Pastor, this is the scripture we already did this on the first Sunday, this one about Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Did you make a mistake again?" I have done that before. You're all nodding your head. Yes, thank you for remembering. But no, I have learned that some churches celebrate Transfiguration the second Sunday of Lent. I don't know why. Those of you who regularly attend multiple churches, let me know. Richard's not here. He's our ecumenical director. But we don't know exactly why there are differences. But the Transfiguration is intriguing. But what's more intriguing to me, you see on my cover slide, the disciples are weighed down by sleep. Peter and Simon Peter and James and John, they're there. They see Jesus with Elijah and Moses, and they want to go to sleep. Now, if you saw Jesus and Elijah and Moses, would you be I'm just really tired, you know? It doesn't seem quite normal. There's something unusual seems to be going on here. It's an incredible event. Think about it. And not only that, but when they meet together, and then Jesus begins to glow. Now, that historically, we know that's Moses. Remember, his face glowed after he encountered God on Mount Sinai, and so he wore a veil. But here is Jesus, and not just his face, but his entire being is glowing. And the disciples, they're ready for a nap. Of course, as I get a little older, I'm ready for a nap a lot of the time. But these are younger guys, so it doesn't necessarily fit in here tonight. And so what's going on here? If it was me or Bo or Hadley, we would be up there trying to get a selfie so we could post it. Right, Bo? Yeah, he's nodding his head. Yes. See, I understand these things a little bit. I would tweet it to all of my followers, all two. So here they are, and they're having this conversation. They've journeyed up onto the mountain, and Moses and Elijah, everybody knows those famous, the most famous prophets of the Old Testament. Moses was one that brought down the laws. He brought, remember, the tablets, the Ten Commandments? He brought those down. These are laws that brought order to an unordered people. No, you don't kill each other. We need to remember that one, I guess. Maybe relearn that one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. They're all there, the first set of commandments. I will have no other gods before me. That was a big one for the Old Testament. Remember, there was a lot of pagan gods, and they'd come into a land with a lot of pagan gods, and there were a lot of other competing things. And you know, it was always handy to be able to have numerous icons of some of the gods you worship, just in case, so you'd maybe hit the right one if you were wrong about the others. It was Yahweh says, no other gods before me. Monotheism, it's a big deal. It's an important thing. Here we go. It must be spring. The voice. Thank you for whoever brought me water. Living water. So why would the disciples be nodding off? They're falling asleep. All this is going on and they're falling asleep. Do you remember being kids? Who was it? Actually, he played Moses in the Bible version. Charlton Heston. Thank you. He claims that he remembers being in the womb. Who am I to argue? But he claims that he remembers. I don't remember anything before being about like a junior in high school. I have some early memories, but not real early. But I do remember some times when I was younger and my folks, we'd go somewhere to see somebody and they were all excited to meet old friends and what have you. And they'd start sitting around the the table with coffee or whatever, and then they're chatting away, and it was boring to me. They were, you know, at first they'd talk about family and us, and that was interesting, but then pretty soon they started talking about things that I didn't know for sure what they were talking about. Sometimes that was on purpose. But sometimes, you know, you talk world events, you talk politics, you talk some other more complicated issues. And as kids, as a kid, I didn't care. And so I just kind of zoned out. And pretty soon, I was more than ready to take a nap, wait for them to get done with all this jawing so that something more exciting would happen. I would tune out what they were talking about. I have done that as an adult. I've gone to a seminary a training event, and the person talking begins to go into sophisticated jargon that's not in an area of my expertise, and I'll listen for about this long, and then I'm thinking about, well, after this is lunch, and I'm going to just tune it out, and if I'm not careful, I'll start snoring right in the middle of the seminar. Am I the only one? Thank you. What's intriguing, though, I remember as a kid hearing things and hearing jokes that I didn't get that my parents would share. Some of them that you cannot tell in church, but that's neither here nor there. But these jokes, and I wouldn't get them. Or see a movie, and there'd be a piece in the movie, and I don't understand what was happening there. But years later, I can reflect back, and I go, oh, now I see. What I didn't see then, now I can comprehend. This is interesting. This idea, this concept, comes from my favorite author, Fred Craddock. He says the discussion of Jesus' approaching death was for Jesus, not for the disciples. Therefore, sleep did not keep them from hearing. Therefore, sleep kept them from hearing. They did not see the glory, and that was enough. They did see the glory. I'm going to get this backwards all morning. They did see the glory, and that was enough. In fact, it was too much. They did not understand. However, some experiences, though not comprehended, still leave their lasting marks on us. I can remember comments when I was a kid. Didn't make any sense to me then, and they do now. They left lasting marks on me. And here, the disciples experience something, and they don't understand what's going on. As far as they're concerned, Moses and Elijah are still the great prophets, the guiding principles, and this Jesus fellow, he's a great prophet. He's a wonderful pal to be around with. He has some great teachings and all that, but they have not comprehended his divinity. We know that all the way to the cross, they did not know what was going on. After the resurrection, they're perplexed. Mary comes and says he's resurrected. They think that she's just telling wild woman stories. She gets it. But they haven't comprehended it yet, you see. Is that what's going on? There's something unintelligible, it's uninteresting, and yet years later, it has an impact upon us. We don't understand the glowing of Jesus, except that was pretty awesome. It would have been good, like Bo said, to get a video of it, you know, share it with your followers. That was pretty exciting, but they don't quite comprehend that this is more than this, and a voice that says, this is my beloved son. Moses has his face shining. Jesus, his entire body, he's greater than Moses. He's greater than Elijah. He's not a prophet. He is God incarnate. And that voice from heaven says, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. It really is a paradigm shift. We've had the laws and the prophets. Renee, I'm going to pick on you a minute. In the Old Testament, how many laws are there? So like 930 or something? Now, I know we're talking, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments, but if you look at the Levitican laws, he says. Now, the exact number is up for debate, this is Mark's truth. That's okay. But there are a lot of these laws, a lot of these rules, a lot of things to learn and to be about, and all of these would govern how we live and how we are for devout Hebrews. But here is a paradigm shift. Here it is a time that we turn and we come back, and Jesus says, I bring you a new covenant. This is the covenant between the world and Christians and God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. It breaks it right on down, and there is only that one. Now, it doesn't discount the others. They probably all work. You don't kill someone if you're going to love them. You don't steal from someone if you're going to love them. If you love your parents, you're going to honor them. It's okay, Holly, I'm right with you. Here, you want a drink of water? All right. I want to share, you know. Actually, it just made a good excuse to drink a little more water. So here is some major changes that occurred. When Moses came, it was a major change for the people. I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods before me. One God, monotheism, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, but only one God. And that was a hard one for them. Think about that and think about the history. And we've heard some of the stories kind of in the side. We don't want to lift it, but it was a difficult transition. You remember the golden calf incident? The people turned to Aaron. They said, we want our old gods. We don't want this one God business. Make us icons. We want a God that we can hold on to and touch and pat and that we can worship, a golden calf, and he does. They have to battle over only one God. It's a huge change, monotheism. And here, Jesus goes up on the mountain, and this is another huge, monumental change. Only one law, one covenant. Love God, love one another. And here is God reminding us, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. God grant that we listen to him. Amen.